birth of Christ, we'd still be under the old law of Moses, making sacrifices for our sins. Without the birth of Christ, so we can get the four to show up here. We skip forward, didn't fit on the screen, but it says without the birth of Christ, we wouldn't have an intercessor between God and man except a high priest. So you can imagine that scenario. Number five, we wouldn't have without the birth, we wouldn't be waiting for the Messiah, not looking forward to his return. Can you imagine living in that reality? Without the birth of Christ, we wouldn't have entered into this new and better covenant with God. We wouldn't have that. We wouldn't be living in that right now without the birth of Christ. And not on the screen, we wouldn't have seen the fulfillment of all the prophecies, all the circumstances surrounding his birth, and those that followed again about his life. Think about the things that we gained through the birth and the life of Jesus. And so the birth is very significant, of course, and it carries this profound meaning. And I think we should absolutely remember the birth of Jesus. And we don't talk about all of those things enough. And so if you have this set of Americans who are only attending religious services 26% of the year, I think it's a low number. And one of my conclusions, I would assume it's because of how people view the Bible itself and the story told in the Bible that God wants them to know. I think they're confused. That doesn't make sense. When they look at it, when they hear the way it is arranged, they think, well, this doesn't make any sense. Starts with Genesis and ends in some weird book named Revelation. But it does make perfect sense. And it makes perfect sense when you look at it in relationship to Jesus. Jesus is the key and the unifying system throughout the Bible. If you break it down into different parts in order that you find it in relation to Jesus, you begin putting this picture together, a lot like a puzzle. And you begin finding a unified, clear picture. You know, the first part of the Bible, in the Old Testament, we have the prophecies about Jesus. In the first four books of the New Testament, you have the Gospels. You have the announcement of Jesus. And following them, you have in the book of Acts, you have Jesus being preached for the first time in the book of Acts. And finally, you have in Revelation telling us about the return of Jesus. And the Bible makes perfect sense when you look at it in relationship to Jesus and know that Jesus is the key to understanding the entire picture of God. I don't know what you do around the holidays. Maybe you have a tradition that you say, well, let's get a puzzle out. And maybe that's part of your holiday tradition. There's a table and there's a puzzle on it. And you bring that. It may take you the month. It may take you, you know, if you get enough people. And you walk by it enough and you stick a piece on there and someone else does. And you finish this puzzle together. Maybe it's one of those big ones. 1,000-piece puzzles. That's, you know, a picture of flowers. And all of it looks the same, right? And you get this box down every year and you work on it, and maybe you have a little part of it and you're proud that you've got that part together. And someone walks up and says, maybe you lost the box and you forgot what the thing looks like anymore, right? And they say to you, what is it? You say, I don't know yet. I haven't finished putting it together. And that's what many people do with puzzles, right? Especially large ones, complex ones. They put a small piece and they back up and they get frustrated and they get mad and they try to make pieces fit. And then a small child takes pieces and loses it and eats it, and your dog chews one up, and none of it works anymore, and it's frustrating. You put it in the box, and you shove it in the closet, and that's it. And you get it out and do it again next year, and none of it makes sense. I believe that's what so many people do with the story of Jesus' birth. It's highly portrayed. It's told. It's sung about. They take a look at this small piece of the story, and they see a little baby in a manger. And they wonder, and they know the wise men came, they know he gave them gifts, and they wonder, what does this have to do with me? What do I have to do with a little baby surrounded by a bunch of animals in a stable? And because they never looked at the whole picture of Jesus, they put that question up. What do I have to do with a baby? And they put that picture up, and they never come back to it again. They pull it out again next year, and it's just a small part of the puzzle, right? That they don't understand again, how does this fit into the whole? So I think we need to understand the whole picture of Jesus. One of my favorite pieces written about Jesus, it's an anonymous author. I wish we knew who wrote it. It's called One Solitary Life. I'm sure you've heard this before. But it really puts together in one short writing what Jesus was and who he went through. And Larry went through some of this morning, answering that question of who is Jesus. It says he was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book, never held an office, never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never even traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He did none of the things that one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 31 when the tides of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. And when he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he remains the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. And all the armies that ever marched, all the natives that ever sailed, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this planet so much as that one solitary life. Someone with an impact like he had didn't just stay in a manger. Jesus came with a purpose. He grew to fulfill that purpose. And some keep him in the manger every year. And they set him where they want because he's more manageable like that. He's less challenging like that. Because Jesus, the baby's not asking me to change. But Jesus on the cross demands that we do. So we choose to look at the picture of Jesus we like. And we're in charge of babies, right? Babies aren't in charge of us. So we leave him in the manger. But we have to go beyond the manger. If you see Jesus in this way, it's my prayer you keep listening and develop a different picture of him than when you arrived, the picture we find in the Bible. We know that he is these things. He is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's both divine and human. He was tempted, yet without sin. He was thirsty and hungry, yet filled with the righteousness and the power to create physical food and words of divine truth. He wept, but he's the source of all comfort. He's a humble servant and an uplifted Savior. He's the feet washer and the King of Kings. He came once to save the world and will come once again to judge the world. Jesus, as Larry said this morning, was with God in the beginning. He was the Word, became flesh, and lived among us. He was the divine teacher, the great physician, the bread of life, the defender of the weak, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the prince of life, the true vine, the way, the truth, the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus the Son. We have to go beyond the manger and see Jesus for all that he is. And you come back to that question, what does a little baby have to do with you? We have a baby just recently born. Maybe you've gone up to see this new arrival around here. But when a baby's born, everyone's excited and people flock to it. They bring gifts, they bring food, they ooh and ah over it, and man, how cute this baby is. And Jesus' birth, though, came with a different weight. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and the rock of the new covenant is built on him. And it's the rock that we stand on. He's the physical embodiment of the promise that God made to Israel, the intercessor between God and man. He's the delivered promise. Jesus is the same, it says, yesterday, today, forever. And when you look at a baby, when you look at your own child and you wonder, what are they going to be? What are they going to be like? What are they going to grow up to do? And we already know that. We have a few interesting stories about the birth of Jesus. It says 8 days after Jesus' birth, he's taken to the temple and two different people look at him as a baby. And they're not wondering these questions. What is he going to do? Who's he going to be? They're excited about the answers they already know. And here's a story we have in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. It says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he'd been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. I don't know if you imagine this man's reality that he gets to live with, knowing he's not going to die until he gets to see the Lord's Christ. He doesn't know who that is yet, but here he is, and we find him in the temple. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law requires, verse 28 says, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He's in the temple talking about the light revealed to Gentiles. And for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. You have this man, Simeon, revealing to us what Jesus will be. He is the salvation. And here is the baby in his arms that he knows you have revealed him to us. You have given him to us. You have come to earth for us. A little farther down, a few verses later, you find the story of Anna. Starting in verse 36, it says, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years and after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God, spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to their redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Simeon's told that he gets to see, in Greek the word is Christ, or the Messiah in Hebrew. And both mean the same thing. They both mean anointed one. God's salvation to mankind is right before him in the flesh. And Anna also knew who Jesus was and the redemption that he would bring. They saw something more than a baby. How many babies on their eighth day were brought into the temple day after day? But not this one. This one was different. This one was the one they were waiting for. Anna also knew who he was. They had moved already beyond the manger. And gifts were brought to him. The gift of eternal life was brought to us through himself. And people came to see him, and he came to know us. There's an interesting book called The Ransom Heart by John Eldridge, and he says Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he'd come from. He knew where he was going. He knew why he was here. God really wants you to know who you are. He wants you to be able to understand the story of your life, to know where you have come from, to know where you're going. There is freedom there in knowing that. Freedom to be and to offer and to love. And so many moments we take, and they are to remind you of who you truly are. One of the last few days on earth, Jesus is in the garden earnestly praying for us up until his arrest in John chapter 17. Jesus grew up knowing that you were not just why he came to earth, but you were on his mind and you're still on his mind. And so we ask this question, is he ever on your mind? Maybe this time of year, certainly. And we need to get beyond the whole picture. We need to see who Christ is. He's more than a baby. We need to just do more than peek in the crib out of curiosity. But we understand, like Anna and Simeon, and respond to who he is and what he has done. If you truly want to see Christ for who he is, you got to sit down and spend time working on the puzzle. You got to pick up a piece and examine and see where that fits. You need every piece in the box to finish the picture. And that's a lot of time you put in to seeing all the glory of God that he's laid out before you in the life of Christ. If Jesus was finishing this tonight, what would he say? Maybe what we've read earlier tonight in John chapter 3. And Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He's talking to a man trying to figure him out. And Jesus starts talking to Nicodemus about himself in the third person. I know this slide is really messed up, but if you want to follow with me in John chapter 3. He's explaining to Nicodemus who he was and what he wants. And he tells him, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, me. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so I will be lifted up. Everyone who believes in me may have eternal life. God loved the world so much he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in me won't perish and have eternal life. God didn't send me into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in me is not already condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. He says, this is the verdict. Light came into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light. And he won't come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly for what he has done through God. Jesus comes with you in mind. He comes to save the world through himself. And if you are looking at Jesus with curiosity, listen to his own words about who he says he is and what he says he came to do. In order for you to be saved through him, he asks you to leave the darkness for the light and live in the truth. He says, if you're going to worship me, he continues with him. He says, you're going to worship me in spirit and in truth. And when he talks about the birth of Jesus, John adds this detail in verse 9 of chapter 1. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The light came. It's here, and Jesus is calling you into it. You got to see beyond the manger, and you got to accept the risen Jesus as our Savior. I hope tonight you get a little different look at who Jesus is. And I know we love the look of the manger. We need the birth as much as we need the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Tonight, if you need to respond for any reason, we're going to stand as we sing this song. Jesus is waiting. Why are you?